The Holy Gospel for this morning is from John chapter 11. And because we're going to be looking at 45 verses of it, I think we'll show it as a video this morning.
A man named Lazarus, who lived in Bethany, became sick. Bethany was the town where Mary and her sister Martha lived. This Mary was the one who poured the perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. It was her brother, Lazarus, who was sick. The sisters sent Jesus the message. Lord, your dear friend is sick. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he received the news that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for two more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea."
Teacher, just a short time ago, the people there wanted to stone you. And are you planning to go back?
A day has 12 hours, doesn't it? So those who walk in broad daylight do not stumble, for they see the light of this world. But if they walk during the night, they stumble, because they have no light. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I will go and wake him up.
If he is asleep, Lord, he will get well.
Jesus meant that Lazarus had died, but they thought he meant natural sleep.
Lazarus is dead. But for your sake, I am glad that I was not with him, so that you will believe. Let us go to him.
Let us all go along with the teacher, so that we may die with him.
When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had been buried 4 days before. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Judeans had come to see Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother's death. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house.
If you had been here, Lord, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask him for.
Your brother will rise to life.
I know that he will rise to life on the last day.
I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me will live, even though they die. And those who live and believe in me will never die. Do you believe this?
Yes, Lord. I do believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. Lord. If you had been here, my brother would not have died.
Where have you buried him?
Come and see, Lord.
Jesus wept. See how much he loved him, the people said. But some of them said, he gave sight to the blind man, didn't he? Could he not have kept Lazarus from dying? Deeply moved once more, Jesus went to the tomb, which was a cave with a stone placed at the entrance.
Take the stone away.
A bad smell, Lord. He has been buried 4 days.
Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believed? I thank you, Father, that you listen to me. I know that you always listen to me. But I say this for the sake of the people here, so that they will believe that you sent me.
Lazarus! Come out!
untie him and let him go.
Many of the people who had come to visit Mary saw what Jesus did, and they believed in him.
Is that something? Good morning, Emmanuel. There is no miracle that is greater than Jesus' own resurrection from the dead than this, the last miracle that Jesus would do before he's crucified. And today we're going to take a look at this particular chapter in the moments that we have ahead of us. From the standpoint of looking at some P's, you can follow along on the back of your bulletin. The purpose, the perplexity, the problem, the promise, the prayer, the power that is all residing in Jesus Christ. And to see that because Jesus is in the resurrection and the life, if we live and believe in him, we will never die. And those who are dead spiritually, if they believe in him, will have new life. And that's the point that he's making right here. So after this, Jesus is going to be going to Jerusalem, and he's going to suffer for the sins of the world, and on Easter Day, he's going to arise. And so this will be the end of the Gospel of John for us for a while, and during Lent and Easter, we'll come back to it for the crucifixion and resurrection. But for today, let's take a look at the purpose. John says in his Gospel that he wrote this gospel for the express purpose that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and believing that you might have life in his name. He also says that he came to his own, and his own would not receive him. But such as who would receive him, he gave the power to become the children of God. And if you'll recall a couple of weeks ago, Jesus was in the temple, and there he was proclaiming again for one last time to the religious leaders of the day who had corrupted the government of the church, the ministry of the church of Judaism, from what it was supposed to be to the ritualistic understanding just of the law of Moses, and they would not see in Jesus Christ the Messiah. And because they would not believe and they had hardened themselves, Jesus went away with his disciples to the area where John the Baptist used to be on the River Jordan. And there he spent some months working with the disciples, training them, teaching them, interpreting the parables, and enlarging those the numbers of people that would believe. And it's while he's there, the perplexity started. Because while he was there, after several months, he gets notification from Martha and Mary that his good friend Lazarus, so I guess he had known very well in Bethany, which was just a couple miles from Jerusalem, was been taken sick, and it was getting worse and worse. And would Jesus quickly come and heal Lazarus, like he had healed the man born blind there at the temple that they had seen? And Jesus stays where he is. On the one hand, his disciples don't want him to go to Jerusalem because the last time he was in Jerusalem, there was an attempt to kill him several times. But it was not God's Kairos moment yet, and so it didn't happen. And they were afraid if they were to go with him to Jerusalem or to Bethany, that would be martyrdom. And so they wanted him to stay at the River Jordan. Mary and Martha wanted him to come quickly to Bethany so that Lazarus could be healed. And Jesus dilly-dallies. He waits and waits and waits. And finally, he says to the disciples, I now go that I may wake him out of sleep. And the disciples say, oh, okay, I guess if you're going to go, he must be getting better. He's having a good night's sleep, and he's going to wake. And Jesus says, read my lips. He's dead. Perplexity upon perplexity. Should we go? Should we stay? Jesus said that this is not going to lead to death, that Lazarus is going to be well, and now he's dead, and no one knew what to believe. And so they go, and as they're approaching Bethany, they're outside of Bethany, Martha meets Jesus on the way, and they have this encounter. The funeral had already started. Lazarus had already been put into the cave, the grave. And the hired mourners had already arrived. They had hired mourners, people paid to cry. Did you know they did that? They would pay some. Of course, they wouldn't have had to. I mean, Lazarus was well-loved, and there'd be regular, real tears. But you had a few to kind of get the thing going, you know, sort of like a praise band. Get us going to sing, right? That's kind of what they were. So they did that, and everybody was there. The funeral lasted 7 days. This was now day four. And sometimes I think we don't know how to do funerals very well. Back then, the whole town shut down. Many people from Jerusalem were there, including the scribes and the Pharisees and all the people that the disciples didn't want to encounter. They were all paying their tributes to Lazarus. I guess it was a prominent family. And you have to remember, the Jews did not embalm. And so when somebody died in springtime in Palestine, what did they do? They quickly took a look at the dead body. They wrapped him up like a mummy, put some spices, and then they would there are a lot of caves there. And they say that today you can still see the cave that is Lazarus' cave in Bethany, outside of Bethany. Outside of Bethany, not too close to the city because you don't want to be, it's defiled. And so in the cave, you'd have these soft stones, and they would make shelves. And you'd take a body and put each body on a shelf until it ossified, and when there were just bones left, then they would do something else. So that's what they would do. And then they would take a big stone, and they had a little slot, so they would put a stone up in the front to keep the wolves out, the animals out, and keep people that would rob things out. And then, as Martha would say in the King James Version, perhaps, it stinketh. I don't need to go into graphic detail what a body decomposed after 4 days looks like. Rigor mortis had set in, rigor mortis had gone out, bacteria had taken over. Just think green. It's kind of bad. You don't want to be there. You don't want to smell it. Gag reflex. Have you ever had that gag reflex? Right now, huh? 7 days. Compare that with how we do funerals. Somebody dies, you call the mortician, they come over with the hearse, the person's in the other room, you're not really, you know, they whisk them away, you pay for the funeral, they embalm them, they put them in a nice casket, probably as much money as they can get out of you, a nice casket. They put the best suit or dress on the person, rouge on the face, they comb the hair in a way that person never combed it. And he or she lying down there in repose with a slight smile on their face, just perfect, hands folded just so. And you say, oh, Aunt Jane has never looked so good. You hear that? She's dead. She's dead. Get over it, you know. She's dead. That looks so good. Ugh. For us, funerals are an event, not an interaction. And I don't think, unless you've been in the Mideast someplace and you've lived it, you really know what death really is. We just make it like it's the not dead, the undead. So Martha approaches Jesus and said, if you've been here, my brother would have not have died. And Jesus says, your brother will rise again. She says, I know. She was a theologian. He'll come back to life at the resurrection of all the dead. She had read the book of Job in the Old Testament, where it said, though worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh will I see God, I and not another. She believed in the resurrection of all people at the end of time. That was pretty good. But our Lord sets her straight. Martha, he says, look at me. I am the resurrection and the life. Not I will be the resurrection and the life. I am. That I am is the fifth of the seven I ams, equating himself with the God of the Old Testament, the I am who I am. I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe? That's the question for every one of us here today. Because not to believe is because there isn't sufficient evidence. The evidence is humongous. And this miracle will be seen by all the people around Jerusalem and Bethany and the whole countryside. It will be the biggest thing. It will be one of the things precipitating Jesus' death, because he brought somebody who was stone cold dead, 4 days dead, and made him alive. The Jewish people believe that the spirit may hover for 2 days. But after 2 days, it's gone. It's dead. And don't forget, after Jesus' own resurrection, he too was seen by a large number of people, up to 500 at one time. 40 days in Jerusalem, seen by many people, and creating a whole Jerusalem church. Do you think that Lazarus, who was raised from the dead, was part of that Jerusalem church? Do you think he had a special place in this praise band? You bet he did. That church just grew and grew and grew until 70 AD, when all Jerusalem got destroyed. The question for us this morning is, do you believe? If not, it's not because of the evidence. The entire gospel is written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you may have eternal life in his name. He says, where have you laid him? Where did you place him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. This is the shortest verse in all the Bible, 2 words. Jesus wept. This is Jesus wept. These were not fake tears. This was an angst of a man, a sorrow of sorrows, acquainted with grief, as Isaiah would have said. He can't contain himself because of what he sees. Not only what he sees in Lazarus, but the reason why Lazarus got sick, the reason why Lazarus died, is that the whole world is groaning in travail. The whole world is sick. And the reason why we get sick, the reason why we have upsets, the reason why we get depressed, the reason why things aren't going right, is because the whole world is in against us. The sin of this world, the world, and our human flesh, and the devil himself is doing everything to separate us from the God that has created us. And that brings us from the purpose and the perplexity to the problem. What's the problem? Well, here's the problem. They didn't want to move the stone. It stinketh. Jesus says, move the stone. And so Martha is not eager to have the stone rolled away. She says, by this time there'll be a stench, for he's been dead 4 days. But now comes the promise. Jesus says, have you forgotten what I promised you? Verse 40, I said to you, did I not, that if you believe, you'll see the glory of God. I told you. What is this glory of God? You saw it in the Old Testament. There was the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. And wherever the Israelites would go, the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud would lead them all the way through the wilderness wanderings to the Holy Land for those 40 years. And then later on, that Shekinah of God, that glory of God, would appear in the Holy of Holies in Solomon's temple. And no one dared approach it. It was so holy. But when Jesus came and Herod's temple had been built, there was no Shekinah of God there was no presence of God in the Holy of Holies, because Jesus was the presence of God in the Holy of Holies. He was the Shekinah of God that came into the temples and they would receive him not. And yet he gave to his own disciples, 3 of them, on the Mount of Transfiguration, he gave them the opportunity to see him as he was. They saw the glory of God shining through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal reality of the ineffable light, so bright that if you looked at it directly, you would die. Well, God is going to put his glory on display right now, right here, right in Bethany. And he's going to do so not with light, but he's going to do so with life. You remember what it said in John chapter 1, right? All this stuff in John chapter 1 is dealing with what we're all focusing on right now. Now, listen to this. This is what he said. The life was the light of men. The life was the light of men. So Jesus is going to show his glory, not through light, but through life. And so, for that to happen, you have to take your eyes off the corpse and onto Jesus. If you want a miracle in your life, take your eyes off your problem and put it on the promises of Jesus. We all have our problems, And the problems can take us and deter us and give us a wrong view of where we're going in as a Christian. Take your eyes off the corpse. Put your eyes on Jesus. When you're down and depressed and grieving and thinking of what might have been, get off the corpse of your life and start looking at Jesus for a miracle. Maybe you don't go through your life expecting miracles all the time, but I do. And I tell you, I see miracles every day. I live in the middle of a glory display. I've never seen a miracle like this one, but I've seen people come to faith who were the most unlikely of people. I've seen His glory on display by the amazing, astounding, incomprehensible actions of God that He orders in every circumstance, every day in my life to reveal His purposes and His will. How He makes all things happen in His time is more staggering in my imagination than anything else. To have looked at the handful of people that were Emmanuel a few years ago and to see the good and the ministry that has come out of this church in the last 9 years, how He gives to us every resource we need, every person we need, every spiritual gift we need in proportion to the faith that we have. And should we take our eyes more often off the corpses and the problems and the concerns that we think we have at this church and focus on the living Christ who has promised us so much to this church, the miracles will be even larger. The opportunity for ministry would grow phenomenally. No one can outgive God. His miracles come every single day as He works out His purposes for your and my life. So Jesus said, remove the stone. So they removed the stone, and here comes the prayer. So He said, Father, I thank You that You heard me. You always hear me. But for the people's sake standing around, I say that we are in agreement on this display of power and glory, that You may believe that You sent me. They knew that only God can create, only God can make life. There were no atheists in first century Judaism. There were only believers in God. There were only believers in the God of creation. There were only believers in the God who was the true God. They believed in the Creator God, and they knew that He made everything. And if He were to make something that was totally dead alive, that would be God. There is no other example. There is no other possibility. And that leads us to the power of the last two verses, that when He said these things, He cried out. Now that's a very strong statement. In the Greek, it goes like this. He yelled in a loud voice with a loud voice. Twice, right? How loud is Jesus' voice? How loud is the Word of God? If He would have said, instead of Lazarus, come out, if He would have said, come forth, every person that was dead in the world from the time of Adam and Eve, every corpse, every disintegrated person would have come alive out of the ground. Millions and billions of them around the entire world, they would have all sprung up. And so He kind of said, Lazarus, the rest of you stay where you are. Later, I want to make this real. I want you to envision this moment. That door over there by the exit sign, that's a stone. We're going to roll away the stone in a moment. Inside that stone is a cave. You are there in Bethany right now. And we're going to watch and see if God can make the dead come alive. This is not because it's Halloween, but it's because Jesus is the resurrection and the life in our life. We were once dead, and because of a miracle of all miracles, He has given us life. And what He did with Lazarus, He will do with all of us. So I need your help. I would like you to say Jesus' words, Lazarus, come forth, at the count of three. Will you do that? First of all, I need, Gordon, would you roll away the stone, please? He's going to open the door. Oh, He's going to open the door. And one, two, three, say, Lazarus, come forth. One, two, three, Lazarus, come forth. The man who had died came out. O grave, where is your victory? Grave, where is your sting? Christ stands as conqueror of sin, death, and the devil. He has the keys to death and Hades, and he unlocked it for this man. One day soon, he'll unlock it for each one of us, every person on earth. You'll notice that there is no explanation beyond this. It's very understated. He comes out. They look at him in disbelief. The Lazarus that had been dead for 4 days is now alive. And notice something else, if you will. Jesus never unrolled the stone. He had somebody else do it. That's why he's formed the church. There's one thing that Jesus does very well. He makes the dead come alive again. But he's instructed for us to do what we can do. We can roll the stones of despair from people's lives. We can take the bandages off of grief and loneliness and hopelessness from people so that they might see better the light and the life that is in Jesus Christ. We can point the way to the one who is the resurrection and the life, that we might believe and have eternal life in his name. Let's rise and pray. Father, we stand in awe as we realize that this Lazarus story is really our story, that we have received eternal life from you and will, after our death, have a resurrected physical bodily form again. And all of this is because you died, but you did not stay dead. You rose, taking our place. And so we're thankful that you have loved us like you loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and that you have made us your family, and that you have given us life and one day a full resurrection. And all of this is only possible because our sins have been paid for in full by your death. That's why we remember the cross. It is there that forgiveness was made. Keep us pure. Use us for the events of the gospel. And touch your healing hand also upon those in our church who are hurting or recovering. Be with each one and every one of us, even as you're with our nation, with those who keep peace in our land, and for all those for whom we pray in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.